This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه آمين وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Prior to the month of Ramadan, we were going through Asma'ullah al-Husna, the most beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every Friday. And so inshallah, during the month of Ramadan, we're going to continue that series at this time every Friday, focusing on those names of Allah that have a specific meaning, especially in the month of Ramadan. So those are the names of Allah that we're going to focus on, insha'Allah ta'ala. And so among these names that we have are three names that we're going to discuss today, insha'Allah ta'ala. And these three names are As-Sami', Al-Qarib, and Al-Mujib. As-Sami', Al-Qarib, and Al-Mujib. And so all of these three names revolve around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hearing us. Him subhanahu wa ta'ala hearing us and being close to us, being near those who call on Him, and then answering them, responding to the dua of the one who makes his dua to Allah. So let's go through these names and see where they're mentioned in the Quran. First of all, As-Sami' is mentioned approximately 45 times in the Quran. As-Sami' is mentioned approximately 45 times in the Quran. And so, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Tush-Shura, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing like Him, and He is As-Sami' and Al-Basir. As-Sami', the all-hearing, Al-Basir, the all-seeing. And in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam building the Kaaba with his son Ismail, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ, when Ibrahim and Ismail were raising the foundations of the Kaaba, what did they say? رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Our Rabb, accept from us, for indeed you are As-Sami', the all-hearing, Al-Alim, the most knowledgeable. Also we find As-Sami' mentioned with Al-Qarib. So Qarib is also a name we're going to discuss today. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ قَرِيبٌ. إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ قَرِيبٌ in Surah 7. He is the all-hearing and Qarib, the most near. So this is As-Sami'. As for Al-Qarib, it has been mentioned three times in the Quran. Qarib has been mentioned three times in the Quran. And so in the verses related to fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And this verse was revealed when some people came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him, is our Rabb far so we should shout to Him, or is He close so we should whisper to Him? And so Allah revealed this verse. When my servants ask you about me, then indeed I am near. Indeed, I am near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَى. I answer the call, the dua, of the one who calls on me. So this is the first place qareeb is mentioned. The second place is in Surah Hud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا صَالِحْ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. To his people Thamud, what does he say to them? فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. Seek his forgiveness and repent to him, to Allah. Indeed, he is قَرِيبٌ مُجِيب. He is قَرِيب and he is مُجِيب. He is near and he is the one who answers. So Mujib is another name that we're going to discuss today as well. And the other place Qareeb is mentioned, we already mentioned it, with Sami'. Innahu Sami'un Qareeb. So this is Al-Qareeb. As for Al-Mujib, Al-Mujib has only been mentioned once in the Quran. That name has only been mentioned once. And it is in that same verse that I mentioned. فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ إِنَّ رَبِّي قَرِيبٌ مُجِيبٌ. Salih alayhi salam said to his people, My Rabb, he is قَرِيبٌ مُجِيبٌ. So this is the only place Mujib is mentioned. However, it has been mentioned in the verb form, that Allah says, I respond. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ دُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord says, call upon me, make dua to me. I will respond. I will respond to you. So it's been mentioned in the verb form. Also, it's been mentioned as Allah being the best of those who respond. Allah is the best of those who respond. Just like we said with other names of Allah, like Ar-Raziq. Allah is the provider. And Allah mentions خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. He is the best of those who provide. And so Allah says وَلَقَدْ نَادَانَا نُوحٌ فَلَنِعْمَ الْمُجِيبُونَ. Nuh alayhi salam called upon us. Nuh alayhi salam called upon Allah, and Allah says, and we were the best of those who respond, the best of those who answer. So what do each of these names, what do they mean? As for As-Sami', it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears everything. It means that there is no limit to the hearing and what Allah can hear. And so he hears every single thing, no matter how low or even faint the sound is. He hears the secrets, the faint whispers, and even that which has no sound, like our inner thoughts. It has no audible sound for us, but Allah hears it. He hears all of his servants, regardless of their language, regardless of their needs, what they're asking for, regardless of their different voices. He hears and he recognizes each and every single voice. And so no voice distracts him from another. Unlike us human beings, Allah does not become busy hearing one and ignoring another. He hears all at the same time, no matter how many people they are. And not just human beings, but the animals and the jinn, everything. He listens to all those who call upon him, regardless of who they are, regardless of how many they are. In fact, even if all human beings, and add to that all of the jinn, were to get together at one place, at one time, and each and every single one of them, from Adam alayhi salam till the Day of Judgment, were to come together and then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, call upon him, make dua to him for their needs, each in their own words, each in their own languages, each in their own voice. He would hear each and every single one of them, and without confusing one for another. And this is based on the hadith of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, the hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ibadi, my servants, if all of you, the first of you and the last of you, the humans of you and the jinn of you, were to rise up in one place and make a request to me, and I were to give each one of them their request, that would not decrease in what I have. That would not decrease in my kingdom and my treasures. More than a needle takes away from the sea, the water of the sea, if it was to come up. Meaning, if you took a needle and put it in the sea, how much water would you take out? Barely anything. Not even a drop. Allah says, that is how my kingdom is. If I was to give all of you everything you asked for, that wouldn't decrease in what I have even for a bit. We should also mention, when talking about As-Sami', that Allah being the all-hearing means two things. Firstly, it means that the general hearing of Allah hears everything in general. And He hears the believers as well as the disbelievers, the righteous as well as the wicked. The second thing that it means, the hearing of Allah, is that He specifically hears the believers, and He specifically hears their dua and their dhikr. And so this kind of hearing means that He answers them. It's not just that Allah hears and then ignores us. No, He hears and He answers. It's not just hearing, but it's hearing followed up with responding. And so Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, Inna Rabbi lasami'u du'a. After he made dua, he said, Inna Rabbi lasami'u du'a. My Rabb is the one who hears the dua. Meaning, not only does He hear it, but He also responds to it. And that is also the meaning when we say in our salah, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ. What does that mean? It means Allah hears the one who praises Him. Does it mean He simply hears the one who praises Him and that's it? No. He hears the one who praises Him and then He responds. And so it's like saying, I've heard you and I'm hearing you. Now go ahead. I'm hearing you. Go ahead. Talk. Ask me. It's not just I'm hearing you and that's it. And that is also the meaning of mujib, as we will see. As for qareeb, what does qareeb mean? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very near to His believing servants who love Him and who are near to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. The closer you are to Allah, the closer you become to Allah, the closer He becomes to you. And that is the meaning of when Musa alayhi salam, or rather when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam and Harun to go to Fir'aun and give him da'wah. What did they say? They said, we're afraid of him. So Allah said, قَالَ إِنِّي مَعَكُمَا قَالَ لَا تَخَافَا إِنِّي مَعَكُمَا إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. Do not be afraid, for indeed I am with you both, and I hear and I see. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was reassuring Musa alayhi salam that you have nothing to fear. Why? Because I'm with you. I'm hearing everything. I'm seeing everything. And so this meaning of Allah being with His believing servants, this is the meaning of qareeb, that Allah is near them. He hears them. He aids them. He is with them. And so, in the hadith mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, again in another hadith Qudsi, that if my servant was to draw near to me by a hand span, I will come near to him by a cubit. And if he comes near to me by a cubit, I will come near to him by the space of two arms outstretched. And if he was to come to me walking, I would go to him running. All of that, what it indicates is that the closer you get to Allah, the closer Allah gets to you. And that's the meaning of Allah being qareeb, being near His believing servants. Also in the hadith, in another hadith, mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim as well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam found the companions when they were on a journey. He found them starting shouting. They started to shout Allahu Akbar, and they started to praise Allah very loudly. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to them, take it easy. He said, restrain yourselves, take it easy. You are not calling upon one who is deaf or absent, but rather you are calling upon one who hears, and one who sees, and one who is with you. He who you are calling upon is nearer to you than the neck of your riding animal. This riding animal that you have, that you are close to, Allah is closer to you than that. So again, it shows us that when we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not that Allah is far, but rather He is very near to us. But obviously, what is meant here when we say that Allah is near, what is meant by that is that He is near to us in a manner befitting Himself. It doesn't mean that Allah is physically near to us, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near us in a manner befitting Himself. He is near to us with His knowledge, with His sight, with His hearing, and then His answering us, and then His aiding us. If you were to call for help from someone, let's say, you know, the president or the prime minister, it would take a very long time to reach him. And then it would take a very long time for him to respond to your call. But that is not the case with Allah, because Allah is near. Because Allah is near. As for mujib, it means that He is the one who answers and responds to those who call on Him, and those who ask for their needs and their requests, not turning down their requests, not turning down what they ask Him for, but rather Him accepting and answering and responding. And this is Allah's promise for His believing servants. This is the promise of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as we mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. If my servants ask you about me, then indeed I am near. Ujibu da'wata da'i idha da'an. I answer the call of the one who calls on me. I answer. Proving that Allah answers. He responds. And we have in the hadith of Salman al-Farisi, radiallahu anhu, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said about Allah that your Lord is hayyun kareem. He is shy and he is generous. And he is too ashamed to turn away your hands, empty hands, when you raise them to him. Allah does not like it that when someone raises his hands to him, that he should leave your hands empty, without answering, without giving you when you're asking him. And also in the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says about Allah that our Lord descends to the lower heavens in the last third of every night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest heavens in the last third of every night. Obviously, in a manner befitting himself. We don't know how. We simply accept Allah does that, but we don't know how. Nor are we allowed to ask how, nor are we allowed to imagine how. Allah does it because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not lie. He has told this to us about Allah, therefore we believe in him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah descends to the lowest heavens in the last third of every night, and then he asks, who is making dua to me so I can answer him? Who is asking me so that I could give him? Who is seeking my forgiveness so that I could forgive him? So all of these hadith prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers and he responds. And he gives us what we ask him for. He gives us what we ask him for. But here people have a doubt and an objection to this. They object, they say, I've made a lot of dua, and Allah does not answer my dua. I've asked Allah for such and such, and Allah has not given it to me. So how do we understand this, or how do we answer this based on what we mentioned about Allah being Al-Mujib, the one who answers? First of all, it could be that you're not following the rules and the guidelines of making dua. Or you're transgressing the bounds and the limits of making dua. And so everything in our deen has rules, has guidelines for us to follow. If you want it to be accepted by Allah, then follow the rules. And so the Prophet ﷺ has taught us how to make dua. The adab, the etiquette, the manners of making dua. Now let's say you follow all of those rules and those guidelines, and you still don't have your dua accepted. Then we say that it could be that Allah does not give you that thing right away. Perhaps Allah is saving it for the future, for a more suitable time. And that's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows us better than ourselves. For example, you may ask for wealth and rizq, and a lot of it. But Allah knew that if He was to give it to you right away, you would use it in what is haram. And you would waste it. Maybe he's saving it for the future, for a time when he will be able to use it wisely. This is only one example. Also, it could be that Allah will never give you that thing that you ask Him for. But it could be that He doesn't give you that thing, but He gives you something else, which is better than it. You think that that thing that you're asking Allah for is better for you. But Allah gives you something else. And you think, this is not better for me. But who knows you better? Allah knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that that thing is better for you at this particular time. Or the other possibility is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saving it for you. He won't give it to you in this dunya, but He is saving it for you for the day of judgment in the form of thawab and ajr and reward. And finally, it could be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He prevents a similar harm from touching you. So you ask for something good, and Allah doesn't give it to you, but He prevents an equivalent harm, an equivalent evil, He prevents it from you. And so this is based on a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that any Muslim who makes a dua in which there is no sin, nor asking for cutting of family ties, then Allah will give him one of three things in return. Allah will give him one of three things in return. Either He will answer his dua soon, so this is you getting your request answered, or Allah will store it for him in the Akhirah. And we mentioned this. Or the third possibility, Allah will divert a proportionate evil from him because of his dua. So based on this, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-mujib. Believe it. Be certain that Allah is the one who answers. But know that Allah answering you is more broader than your understanding of what it means to answer. Our human understanding of what it means to answer my request is that you give me what I ask you for, right? That's our understanding based on our interaction with one another. That when you ask somebody for something and he gives it to you, this is him answering you. When you don't get it, you think he hasn't answered you. He is not responding to you. But that is not the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah is not like His creation. And this is something we have to constantly repeat when it comes to the names and the attributes of Allah. There is nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not similar to His creation. Allah is far beyond any similarity, any resemblance between us and Him. And so, Allah being the one who answers, it means that He will definitely give. But the way in which He gives, that will differ. That will differ. But for sure He gives. And for sure He answers the dua of the believing servants. Now we move on to the lessons we learn from these three names. And so the first lesson we learn from As-Sami', the all-hearing, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He hears in a manner befitting Himself. And the fact that He hears everything without exception shows us that His hearing is unlike our hearing. the fact that he can hear every single sound and voice without confusing one for another shows us that the hearing of Allah cannot be likened to our human hearing. And the same thing we can say about Al-Qarib, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near to us in a manner unlike us human beings are near to one another. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like him, no resemblance. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And he is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. The second lesson that we learn from these names, or from As-Sami', is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used his attribute of hearing to refute the worship of the mushrikun. So they would worship idols that could neither hear and could not see. And so Allah uses this against them to prove that the only one you should be worshipping, the only one you should be calling upon, is the one who could hear, the one who could see, and that is Allah. Not these deaf and blind idols and objects of worship that you worship. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf at the very end, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ عِبَادٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. Those that you worship besides Allah, that you call upon besides Allah, they are servants like you. They are a creation like you. فَدْعُوهُمْ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. So call upon them, go ahead. Call upon them and let them answer you if you are truthful. Go ahead, call upon them and let them to answer you if you are indeed truthful. أَلَهُمْ أَرْجُلٌ يَمْشُونَ بِهَا. Do they have feet that they could walk with? أَمْ لَهُمْ أَيْدٍ يَبْطِشُونَ بِهَا. Or do they have hands that they could strike with? أَمْ لَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. Or do they have eyes that they could see with? أَمْ لَهُمْ آذَانٌ يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. Or do they have ears that they could hear with? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلِ دُعُوا شُرَكَاءَكُمْ ثُمَّ كِيدُونِ فَلَا تُنظِرُونَ. Call upon them. Call upon your partners that you associate with Allah. And try to plot against me. And do not delay. So look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely demolishing their concept of shirk, of worshipping others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third lesson that we learn from these names, and in particular As-Sami', the all-hearer, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one who could hear, what it should do is that it should make us to fear Him. It should make us to become conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and protect our tongues from saying that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Saying that which is haram, lying, backbiting, slandering, using your tongue in a way that is displeasing to Allah. When you know that Allah is the all-hearer, you would not utter a single word except that it is in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you would do this whether it is in public or whether it is in private. And so even if no one else can hear you, and you're only sitting with one other person or two other people, you would fear Allah, because you know Allah is the all-hearer, the one who could hear. And so this is what the name As-Sami' should bring into our hearts. Not only that, but it should make us to only utter that which is pleasing to Allah, such as reciting the Quran. saying our adhkar, praising Allah. We should make our tongues moist with the remembrance of Allah. And remember that as long as you do that, then Allah is with you. As the Prophet ﷺ says in another hadith Qudsi, that those who remember me, I am with them. Another lesson that we learn from these names, and in particular Allah's name of Al-Qarib, the one who is near. If you want to be among those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close to, then you need to go close to Allah. If you want to be among those who Allah answers, then you need to be from among those who answer Allah's call. If you want Allah to be near you, do not become distant from Allah. If you want Allah to answer your dua and your calls, then you need to answer the call of Allah. And so that's exactly what Allah says in the verse we mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. If you want Allah to answer your dua, Allah says, then let them to respond to me, answer me by obeying me, and let them believe in me so that they are rightly guided. Also, among the things that we learn from, among the lessons that we learn from these names, believing in these names, As-Sami' Al-Qarib Al-Mujib, believing in these names should strengthen our yaqeen, our certainty in Allah, and our hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should make us to turn to Allah and to want to call upon Him, to want to make dua to Him. And it should completely get rid of any despair that we have in our hearts. It should make us to completely get rid of any despair where we give up and we lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we learn these names of Allah, As-Sami' Al-Qarib and Al-Mujib, such a person who learns these names and understands their meanings would never fall in despair, would never lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answering him and answering his du'as. In a hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person will continuously be answered by Allah as long as his du'a does not involve a sin or cutting ties of relationship. And the Prophet ﷺ added, and as long as he does not become impatient. As long as he does not lose patience. So the companions, they asked, Ya Rasulullah, what does it mean that you become impatient? So the Prophet ﷺ says, when he says, I made dua, and I made dua, and I made dua, and I have not received any response. I have not received any response, and so he becomes frustrated, and then he gives up making dua. He gives up making dua. And that's why Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, I'm not concerned about al-ijaba. Ana la ahummu bil-ijaba, walakin ahummu bid-du'a. He says, I'm not concerned about being answered by Allah. That's already guaranteed. Allah has promised that He will answer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about Allah that He responds and He answers. I'm not concerned about that. But what I'm concerned about is the initial dua in the first place. Will I make it or will I not? That's where we are lacking. We complain, but when was the last time you made dua to Allah? And by that I mean a sincere dua. From the bottom of your heart, when was the last time you made a dua from the bottom of your heart? Begging Allah and asking Him. And then you say, you complain and you say, Allah is not answering me. And so, once we understand these names of Allah, it should push us to want to make dua to Him and call upon Him. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being al-mujib, the one who answers, means that He will definitely answer you. So when you make dua, have this in mind. Don't make dua to Allah thinking in the back of your mind that Allah may answer me, He may not answer me. Don't make dua to Allah having in the back of your mind this wavering doubt that I may be answered by Allah, I may not be answered by Allah. Why? Because what this will do is it will weaken your sincerity in your dua. You won't ask Allah from the bottom of your heart, but rather ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bearing in mind that He is as-Sami' and that He is al-Qareeb and that He is al-Mujib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord says, call upon me. What does Allah say? If you do that, I will answer you. It's a guarantee from Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, call upon Allah, make dua to Allah while being certain, وَأَنْتُمْ مُوقِنُونَ بِالْإِجَابَةِ, while being certain of being answered. Don't make dua to Allah without that certainty that you're going to be answered. Make dua to Allah while being certain that you're going to be answered. And know that Allah does not respond to the dua that comes from a careless and inattentive heart. And so what this shows us is that when you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make it while knowing that Allah will definitely respond to you. And as we said, responding and answering, it comes in different forms. Don't think based on your experience that there are times when Allah gives me what I ask for and there are times when I don't get what I ask for. Therefore, there are times when Allah answers and there are times when Allah does not answer. No, we shouldn't be thinking this way. Because as we mentioned, Allah's answer and His response comes in different forms. And so, we are currently in the month of Ramadan. And among the things that this month is known for is that it is a month of making dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the fasting person has a dua mustajab. He has a dua that is answered by Allah. And other narrations of that hadith mention that it is when you are breaking your fast. It is when you are breaking your fast. Also, we pray Qiyamul Layl, make dua in your sujood. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that there is no time that the servant is closest to Allah than when he is in his sujood. So make dua much when you are in your sujood. Also, if you want your dua to be accepted, look for those times when dua are accepted. There are certain times and places that dua is more expected to be answered than other times. So look for those times and make an effort to make dua to Allah in those times. An example is on Fridays. The Prophet ﷺ told us that there is an hour on Friday in which Allah answers the dua. And many of the Sahaba, they explained that to mean the last hour on Friday. The last hour on Friday. What day is it today? Friday. Which hour is it? We are currently in the last hour of Yawm al-Jum'ah. Add to that the fact that you are fasting. Add to that the fact that you are about to break your fast. And so the more of these that come combined together, the more higher the chance of your dua being accepted. And so don't waste these last few moments before Maghrib. Sit down and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of your needs. For all of your needs. And don't forget about your greatest need. And that is your akhirah. Sometimes we busy ourselves making dua to Allah for our needs of this dunya while forgetting and neglecting about that which is more important, asking Allah for hidayah, for guidance, asking Allah to keep us firm upon the guidance, and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to die in a state of iman, asking Allah to enter us into Jannah, asking Allah to protect us from the hellfire, and so on and so forth. And so this is the month of dua. Spend as much time as you can making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in those times when it is expected. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from among those whose du'as are accepted, to make us from among those who are near to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.